Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion where we're going to be talking about keeping the covenant of love. When we take communion, really, we're taking this reminder of our covenant with God, and God calls it a covenant of love. So let's get started with prayer, and then we'll dive into this topic of God keeping the covenant of love and our role in keeping this covenant of love as well. But Heavenly Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light. And I pray for all those that are watching this video, their families, their friends, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And like I said, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your unconditional love for us, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. And keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and help our love to grow and abound more and more. And help us to do these things with peace and joy and confidence in you. And Lord, we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so if you want to learn more about that prayer, that's our 30-day prayer challenge prayer. That's coming from the book of Ephesians. That's coming from the prayer of Jabez in First Chronicles and several other scriptures that are combined together. And then we often talk about doing the other half of prayer, taking a few minutes to get still, to listen, to connect with God. We got to do that other half of prayer, which is listening. And we just ask God to help us do what's right and best in his eyes, taking the time to listen, to get still, and follow his leading, follow his voice. Because Job 36:16 says, God is wooing you from the jaws of distress, leading you to a spacious place free from restriction. And it's his voice, Jesus says in John chapter 10, it's his voice that leads us. So as we take the time to get still, to get listen, to follow those nudges he's given us on the inside, it helps us walk out each day to make each day a masterpiece and to do what's right and best in his eyes. And his voice is leading us down that path because he's keeping this covenant of love for us. And we're going to see this path that God takes us on here in just a minute, what this covenant of love actually looks like. So we're going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I'm going to start in verse number 6. Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting in verse 6. It says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God." To be holy is to be set apart. It's the opposite of common. "The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." God sees us as his treasured possession. The treasure in heaven is people. "The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than all the other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples." He's talking about the people of Israel there. "But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath that he swore to your forefathers," to who? To Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, "and that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery." God has released us from the darkness. He's transferred us into the light. "From the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, and he is the faithful God." And here it is, keeping his covenant, not just his covenant of love, his covenant of love. And Jesus says, this is my commandment. This is my covenant. Love each other. Remain in my love and love each other. "Keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands." keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. I'm going to say that one more time just because there is so much in that. Keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. And what does Jesus say his command is? Love each other. The two greatest commands, love God, love people. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll follow my commandments. You'll do what I ask you to do. You'll follow his voice. You'll follow his leading, and you'll let his love flow through you. You'll receive that, and you'll let it flow through you to other people. Now, notice this idea, these two concepts together, the covenant of love. Covenant is a contract. It's an agreement. It's something you obligate yourself to or devote yourself to. It's this covenant of love. It's a covenant. It's a blood sworn oath. When we take communion, it's a reminder. This is a blood sworn covenant in the blood of Jesus. He's given us this covenant of love. In the Old Testament, we talked about recently, the word for steadfast love in Hebrew is the word hesed, which means it's God's covenant obligation, his covenant commitment, his covenant. He obligated himself. He bound himself to unconditional love. And love never fails, it says in 1 Corinthians 13. Love never fails. So he's given us his steadfast, which means is what? It's fixed, it's unwavering, it's immovable, because it's based on his covenant. He says, in the blood, based on the blood of Jesus, I'm obligating myself to love you. My covenant of love. And he's going to keep the covenant of love. And then our role in this covenant is to learn to receive this love. God's giving us this love. We're going to look at a picture of this love here from the book of Ezekiel here in a second. God's given us this covenant of love. He's going to say, I'm going to love you unconditionally. I'm going to do good for you. I'm going to do everything I can to be a blessing to you, to love you, to make you great. I'm going to do all that for you based on the covenant, because I've promised to do it in this covenant. And our role in the covenant as well is to keep the covenant of love, to love ourselves, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love God, to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we're going to keep this covenant of God. We're going to of covenant of love. We're going to walk in love with God. We're going to love ourselves. We're going to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we're going to walk in this covenant of love, and we're going to do it unconditionally because it's based on the covenant. We're going to get this thing firmly established in our hearts, that our hearts are rooted and established in love. That's what the Apostle Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 3. That their hearts would be rooted and established in love. And we can say established in this covenant of love, where I've made this commitment. I've made this unwavering commitment that I'm going to love. And it's rooted and it's established. I'm going to love no matter what people do to me. I'm going to love God. I'm going to love myself, and I'm going to love people. And I'm going to keep this covenant of love, and I'm going to imitate God in this. And if I mess up, yes, there's always grace and there's forgiveness. That's part of this covenant of love. God's made provision for that. If I slip up and I mess up, God does not. He is extremely faithful and trustworthy in that. But if we ever mess up, there's provision for that. We can get right back in. And we get right back in. We step back into this covenant of love. And what I would tell you is stepping out of love and getting into not loving people, not loving ourselves, not loving our God. What are we doing? We're stepping out of the covenant, and it's not worth it. The greatest place you could ever be is in this love and in this covenant and in this partnership with God, where God has committed himself. He's obligated himself. He's bound himself to loving kindness, to loving goodness, to do everything he can to make us great. So let's take a look at this. Let's take a look at a picture of what this looks like coming from the book of Ezekiel. So I'm going to pull this up here. Give me one second. All right, so this is coming from Ezekiel chapter 16. God's talking about how what these people looked like before God came into their lives. And it says, on the day you were born, this is Ezekiel chapter 16, starting in verse 4. On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean. Nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. No one looked on you with pity or had any compassion on you enough to do these things for you. Rather, you were thrown out into an open field. For on the day you were born, you were despised. So God's saying these people were abandoned. Nobody kept this covenant of love with them. They didn't have anybody to love them, to care for them, to nurture them from the day they were born. They were just despised and treated with contempt and thrown out. But then God says, I passed by you and I saw you kicking about in your blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live. God said, live. And I made you grow up like a plant of the field. And you grew up and developed and became the most beautiful of jewels. Your breasts were formed and your hair grew. And you who were naked and bare. Later, I passed by and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. And I gave you my solemn oath and I entered into a covenant with you. This is powerful. I entered into what? This covenant of love with you, declares the sovereign Lord, and you became mine. These people were despised. They were rejected. They were all these bad things. God looked at them and said, live. And then at the time when they were ready for love, God entered into this covenant with them. And he says, I bathed you with water and washed the blood from you and put ointments on you. I clothed you with an embroidered dress and put leather sandals on you. I dressed you in fine linen and covered you with costly garments. God's not cheap. A lot of times we get this impression that God doesn't want us to have anything nice, but the Bible tells us God gives us freely all things to enjoy. God gives us freely all things to enjoy. It's this covenant of love. God's going to give you his best. It's not you striving and toiling and seeking after the best. This is you keeping the covenant of love and God keeping his covenant of love, and he does his best for you and he takes care of you. He says, I adorned you with jewelry. I put bracelets on your arms and a necklace around your neck. And I put a ring on your nose, earrings on your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. God wants to crown us, it says, with a crown of glory. So you were adorned with gold and silver. Your clothes were of fine linen and costly fabric and embroidered cloth. Your food was fine flour, honey, and olive oil. You became very beautiful and rose to be a queen. And your fame spread among the nations on account of your beauty, because the splendor I had given you made your beauty perfect, declares the sovereign Lord. I've been working on a new book lately, and one of the concepts we talk about in there is that God is the source of beauty. Often we stress and we toil and we grind away trying to make our lives beautiful, trying to make ourselves beautiful. But God is the source of beauty. All the beauty and things that we're looking for are found in him, are found in this covenant of love. This is what God wants to do for us. This is against what a lot of people have heard in religion and these types of things. This is God keeping his covenant of love. He entered into a covenant with you. You became mine, he says, and here's what he did for them. But then, unfortunately, it says the people trusted in their beauty and they used their fame to become a prostitute and they were not faithful in keeping their part of the covenant of love. They did not reciprocate that love back to God, unfortunately. So, like I said, our role in this covenant, God's going to keep his covenant of love. That's what he's wanting to do for us. Our role is to keeping the covenant, loving God, showing him that same love and affection that he's shown to us. And then loving ourselves and loving others in that same. And it's covenant love. It's unconditional love. You could say it's agape love. It's not dependent on what other people are doing to me. It's my commitment to love no matter what. Unwavering, steadfast, fixed, established, immovable love because of this covenant. These two concepts together, covenant and love, are extremely powerful. So let's take communion over this. Every time we take communion, we take it, it says, with holy awe. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 or 11. We take it with holy awe. We come to the meal with the fear of the Lord, that awe, that reverence, that respect for God. He's given us this covenant of love. And it says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus is what set this new covenant in motion. The death of Jesus was the transition from the old covenant of law to this new covenant of love and grace. And God's giving us this amazing covenant with him. And the death of Jesus marked the transition. He's the one that cut the covenant with God in his body, in his blood, that made all this available to us. And it's truly an amazing thing. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this bread. And we ask you to bless it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So if you have your bread, you can take your bread. If not, you can visualize and imagine with us. Then in that Last Supper on Passover, Jesus took the cup. He says, "This is the cup of the new covenant, this covenant of love in my blood that's been poured out for the forgiveness of sins. It's been poured out for many." This cup is an amazing representation of this covenant of love. We have this covenant that was poured out by Jesus, this covenant in his blood. All covenants had to be cut in blood. That we have God continually working for our good. We saw this picture of what he wanted to do for the people who were in covenant with him. And it's a reminder for us to keep our role in this covenant of love. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this cup and what it represents. And we ask you to bless it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So every time we take communion, like I said, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus. It's the transition from the old to the new. And I believe communion is one of the greatest, I call it table turners in all of life. In our program, The Abundant Life Blueprint, we talk about this idea of table turners, that thing that turns the tables and changes the trajectory of situations. This covenant of love is truly a table turner. It can change the whole trajectory. Look at the trajectory of that baby that God saw, and he says, "Live." And then he enters into a covenant when they began to be grown enough for love. Look at the trajectory of their life, how it changed when they entered into a covenant of love with God. Every time we take communion, it's supposed to create this turning point and reminder that God is changing the trajectory of our lives. And how do we do this? Every time we create a turning point, it's like a point of contact, a point of remembrance of this covenant of love. And then we got to keep the covenant. We have to, I call it follow through, or we have to finish high. So we receive this from God. We remind ourselves of this covenant of love with God. And then we got to walk it out. We got to keep our part of the covenant. God is faithful to keep his. We got to keep our part. Keep our eyes fixed on him. Keep loving him. Keep letting that love, keep receiving his love, letting it flow through us out to other people. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.